Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. Welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm glad you've joined us today. If this is your first time, we want to welcome you. If you have listened to our program before and you are returning, we're glad that you're back. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today, we have a message that centers around life, and Pastor Phipps is going to talk a little bit about the road signs of life. It's a longer message than usual, so we're going to get into the message right after we hear our music today. So I hope that you'll stay tuned to the rest of our program and enjoy, and I hope that you're blessed by what you hear. Before we get into the message, though, here is music, a song entitled I Want Jesus to Walk With Me by Wendley Phipps.
I make heaven, Lord, please walk with me. Till I make glory, Lord, please walk with me. walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Please walk with me. Walk with me.
It was a cool night on the desert sands. The silent moonlight mingled with the wind. Stretched out on a mattress with only a quilt to cover himself, a young boy lay sleeping. This young boy was the appointed custodian of the temple, and every night it was his privilege to bask, to sleep in the reflected light of God's Shekinah glory. This night, as he lay between sleep and wake, a voice broke through his misty world with a soft and determined urgency. That voice whispered his name, Samuel. The young boy sat up, opened his eyes wide, sprang to his feet, navigated his way down the corridors that were familiar to him now, and he stood at the door of the bedchamber from which he felt certain his name had been called. Eli, said the boy, you called me. The old patriarch opened his blurry eyes. Son, I didn't call you. You must have been dreaming. Go back to sleep. Morning will soon be here. That little 15-year-old boy went back to his bed, somewhat puzzled by what seemed to him an unusual error. This time, instead of dozing, he lay awake, wide-eyed, uneasy. Again, he heard that voice in the night. It sounded something like Eli's, but as he searched his memory, he knew he had never heard a voice quite like this one before. This voice had mingled in it authority and kindness. This voice was electric with authority and compassion. A rich voice accented and embellished by harmonic overtones not heard on earth. A voice that carried with it echoes of the eternal realm. His mother had warned him that one day he would hear this voice, and he wondered, could this be the moment? And I think every mother, every father ought to warn every child that one day God will call your name. Samuel began to reflect on his humble beginnings. He thought about how his mother had consecrated him. The husband of her youth, Elkanah, impatient with her ability to present him with a male heir, you remember, had taken two wives. When Samuel came, therefore, Samuel was a miracle. And his mother, Hannah, always reminded him of that, as some of you mothers remind your children. Child, you're a miracle. When Samuel came, his mother reminded him. As that young boy lay on his bed, reflecting on God's faithfulness, the same voice spoke again, Samuel. Once more the boy ran, stood outside of Eli's door. Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've not called you and do not intend to call you. And if anyone calls you again tonight, rest assured, Samuel, it won't be me. Again, the voice came a third time. Samuel scampered into Eli's room. Eli, who could this be? Suddenly it dawned upon the wise old patriarch that that voice that pursued this young intern in the ministry was none other than the voice of God. Young man, said Eli, the next time you hear that voice, I want you to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Throughout the ages, God has spoken to his children in many ways. He's spoken through Urim and Thummim. But I want you to know, ever since the dawn of creation, men and women of faith have turned their ears toward heaven to hear that voice that speaks your name. I want you to know God knows your name. And I want you to know he will speak your name. There have been times in my life when I didn't know which way to turn, what to do, and I sat just listening. And I heard that voice that spoke to Moses from the burning bush will speak to you. He's spoken to me. People always wonder, how can you know? You'll know. I ask you, how does God guide you? How do you navigate the pitfalls and snares of life? Bob Mumford, in a book called Take Another Look at Guidance, compares discovering God's will with a sea captain docking. A certain harbor in Italy can be reached only by sailing up a narrow channel between dangerous rocks and shoals. And over the years, many ships have been wrecked and navigation is hazardous. So to guide the ship safely into port, three lights have been mounted on three huge poles in the harbor. And when these lights are perfectly lined up, when you can see them as one light, the ship knows that he can safely proceed up the narrow channel. If the pilot sees two or three lights, two of the three lights, he knows that he's in trouble. He knows he's off course. And there's something that pilots who fly do the same thing when they're flying without navigational aid. They line up those three red or orange cones, and they know that when they're fixed in a certain way, they're on course. And if they go just to the left or to the right, they know that they're off course. Well, the three harbor lights that God uses to guide us. And do you know when God is guiding you right? First, your light must be in harmony with God's word. Line up with the word of God, and you'll be all right. Listen to me. I said, line up with the word of God and you'll be all right. You can't run around and still have a happy marriage. You got to line up with the word of God. I know what I'm telling you today. Then you got to line up, and besides, God's word is an objective standard. It doesn't matter what your name is. It's the same word for you as it is for me. Amen? So the first light is God's word. The second light is the Holy Spirit. You got to learn to know when God's Spirit is speaking to you, just like Samuel. Third light is providence. Now that's the one that's hard to take sometimes. Because let me tell you what God will do. Sometimes he'll close a door. Sometimes he'll open a door. Has he ever closed a door on you? You wanted that job? Closed it up. Huh? Together, these three points, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, and divine providence, what are they? The word of God, what else? The Holy Spirit and divine providence will together assure you you're going in the right direction. Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us, God has a place and a plan and a destiny for our lives. And we are guided by his eyes, and we should be guided by his plans, and his eyes are not our own. He sees things you can never see. And you've got to trust him. Sometimes he'll lead you through a way. You'll have no idea, Lord, why are you taking me this way? God never leads you. Have you noticed? God never takes the expressway. God doesn't take 95 when he's taking you anywhere. He always takes you through a way that looks like Route 1. It's circuitous. It is stop, go, wait. Are you listening to me today? Always it seems like a circuitous path, but if you let him guide you, he'll always guide you right. He'll guide you through providence, through the mystery of unplanned circumstances. He'll guide you through open doors that even wise men will never understand. Oh, have you ever wished that you could really tell people how God has blessed you? But you know you can't. In other words, you can't tell everything. Sometimes, and you can't, you just want to hold it back because nobody believe you anyway. That's how I feel. God has done something for me this week that is so marvelous, so mighty, so powerful. It is in line with his providence, his plans, his purposes. I just wish I could tell you. God did not move. Let me share this with you. He may not still the storm in your life, but all along he'll keep his eye on you. God didn't move to prevent the flood in Noah's day, but he did lead Noah to build an ark. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but he did lead Lot's family out. God guides his children not by force, but by a tender, loving eye. Sometimes God guides by an inaudible voice. Sometimes by the sudden appearance of angel messengers. I shall hope you have in the memory bank of your life a moment when you met somebody who God used to speak to you and you never met him again and you don't know if it was an angel or not. Some pastors were on their way to a pastoral meeting down in Mexico. The car broke down. One pastor got out a jack, lifted up the car, slid under it. The jack slipped. The whole crushing weight of the car fell on him. The other pastors grabbed the car together, trying to lift it, and it wouldn't move. Suddenly, he said, all I could do was just pray in my mind, God, help me. He said, and in the distance, we saw a little tiny Mexican man running out towards the car. And when he got to the car, he reached down by himself and lifted it. I slid out from under it, he said, and I felt not one broken bone. He said, we all turned to see so we could thank him, and he was gone. Sometimes God will guide you through the sudden appearance of angelic messengers. I know he's done it in my life as he done it in yours. But always God guides those who put him first. He guides those who wish to be led not by the thoughts of their own minds, not by the counsel of others. Don't let other people guide you. Amen. Amen. Let your guidance come from God and God alone. He knows what's best. I'll never forget, I got off a private plane once, got into a limousine. I was at another old preacher friend of mine. Limousine started moving off. And the preacher friend leaned up to the driver and said, excuse me, where are we going? The driver said, yeah, we're going by my aunt's house. We're going to make a quick stop by my grandma's house, and then we're going to the hotel. He said, no. Preacher said, we're going straight to the hotel. The driver sheepishly said, okay, no problem. We'll go straight to the hotel. And as he kept driving, the passenger that I was with leaned over to me and said, never live your life by someone else's agenda. Always let God guide you. Don't let other people guide you. Amen. When in the midst of difficulties, when your way seems hedged up, blocked up, barricaded, obstructions on every side, enemies beside you, and yes, we do have enemies in this life. enemies. If you don't have enemies, you're not living for Jesus. Are you with me today? God says that all who live godly in Christ will have persecution. If you don't have enemies, you ought to get on your knees. Defeat and ruin will be all around you. No human help will be near you. But even if it were near you, know that you would not have enough in your own wisdom to save you from destruction. In all thy ways, what does God say? Do what? Acknowledge me. Put me first. I will direct your paths. And when you let God go before you, those problems, those gates that bar your entrance, those gates, those problems that are keeping you from the future God has planned for you will suddenly disappear. I'm told that when Jesus rose up to go to heaven, brothers and sisters, when he reached the gates, that the angel said, "Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the King of glory shall come in." I want you to know that when Jesus is walking with you and you come up upon a gate, a bar, a hindrance, the angels say, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lifted up. The King of glory is here. Stand aside, problem. Stand aside, trial." When you let God go before you, trials step aside. Difficulties clear the way. Everything seems to fall in place. The poet says, you become like one who dreams. Your mouth is filled with laughter when you recognize that God is with you. He is guiding you. I said, he is guiding you. And what are you saying? You're saying, the Lord has done great things for me. When the morning comes, after you go through your dark night, the light of dawn is revealed. The servant of the Lord says, when you look back and you see exactly how God has led you, you will have chosen to be led no other way than just the way he led you. I've never missed an appointment because of weather or mechanical difficulty. And I've been on a plane once or twice a week for over 20 years. I've missed some flights. And whenever you miss one, don't worry about it. Thank God. Now, I got to share something with you before I close this message. God knows that some of his children are sheep with mountain goat complexes. We are sheep with mountain goat complexes, which means we act like we think we can navigate through any problem on our own. And we start to climb up mountains without him. I'm just glad God doesn't mind rescuing sheep who have mountain goat complexes. As God guides you with his eye, he'll keep you in the harbor of safety. Brothers and sisters, only when you get to heaven, God is saying, take your time. Only when you get to heaven will you appreciate the role of God's providence and his angels in your life. Angels were beside the Samaritan who cared for the wounded stranger. Angels from the heavenly courts stand by all who do God's service. An angel of God called a Hagar. It was an angel who appeared to Jacob. He saw a ladder reaching to heaven. Angels always behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. Often God's most urgent commands are whispered to us by angels. Angels went to Peter in jail, said, "Come on, quickly." An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. An angel appeared unto Philip, said, "Arise and go." And sometimes when you don't realize it, it is an angel who is pushing you and hastening your steps. A British train was racing down the tracks. On that train was Queen Victoria. Suddenly, in the beam of the engine's headlights, cast as a picture in front of him, the engineer saw a flagman waving his arms. He pulled on the brakes. The train screeched to a halt. They got off the train looking for the flagman. No flagman. But as they walked about 100 yards, they saw that the track ahead had been washed away. When they investigated it, they found that a moth had slammed into the grill in front of the headlight, and its wings were flapping aimlessly in the wind. And they thought it was a flagman.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today, and just about to the end of the program for today. I hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood it. I know there are lots of things that Pastor Phipps said today in the message that you can probably relate to and use in your life. I know I can say that for my life. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again there, Seabrook Church, 301-577-6342. Today you want to ask for program number 273, which will reference today's message, and the good folks there at Seabrook Church will help you out with obtaining an audio copy. I do hope that you will join us again for another program. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for The More Abundant Life. And until you can join us, again, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.